Joining me right now, talk about the very important SD 28 race, Representative Charles Perry. He was a candidate in that race. Representative Perry, welcome back to the show.
Hey, it's good to be back, Chad. How are you guys doing?
Doing all right. Appreciate it. I know you're traveling. Have you hit all the counties yet, or do you still have a few more?
We have actually wanted to just kind of get through. It's a very sparsely populated county, but we're going to talk to the superintendent and try to get with county judges down in Borden County here, or somebody in that area. It's been tough to get a few of those little rural communities together. So
sure.
We're planning to go through there this next few days, and then we have made all 51, probably met several hundred people throughout the rural communities, and it's been just a real joy to get to meet those people.
Well, I think you mentioned there that you were hoping to meet with the superintendent. Let's talk about education a little bit, because that's something that obviously your opponents on the other side of the aisle are going to always hit Republicans on when they can, and some Republicans will hit each other on when they can. What does the future of education look like, you think, here in the state of Texas? And if elected, what do you want to do about education, funding, testing, and all the other issues that come with education?
Well, you know, last session, we did a lot of good things to HB5. I think it's literally going to be viewed as one of the most transformational pieces of legislation in education in the history of Texas. A few years looked back, but we started the process. We began the process of reducing testing. We opened up options for kids that only prior to HB5, we really put an overemphasis on higher ed only and leaving about 70% of the kids out of that loop. So we're going to pursue the HB5 implementation, which will require vocational teachers, vocational venues to do some of those career tech type jobs. So we've got some challenges in there to meet. I think that you'll see private sector step up in several of those capacities to fill the void that we created in HB5 by giving those kids options. That's going to be a number one initiative. On the funding, we're currently at the courthouse. The Supreme Court's reviewing a couple of lawsuits, one on how we distribute funding around the districts in the state with the money we do have, and two, are we going to need to put more in? And I think on number one, I'm in total agreement that our equity piece of that has far too long been neglected. It's been in place since 06, was not meant to be permanent, and hasn't been our permanent funding mechanism. We have done a better job of bringing equity to the public school system by virtue of some things we did in 2011. And they may let that phase out. It's scheduled to sunset in 17, the current formula that we have in place today. On the adequacy issue, I think the Supreme Court in its wisdom will probably say, I'm thinking hopefully on the sideline on the adequacy issue, in the sense that, you know, the legislature's job is to set the budget priorities of the state. The legislature's job is to allocate the appropriate those monies that we have. And the number one budget item in the state budget today is $40 billion state, federal, and other fees that goes to public education. So, you know, I don't know. We only get to control about 70% of those dollars, $200 billion budget. Most of that stuff's already set by formula, statute, constitutional, or federal mandates that we have to deal with before we come in. So there's not a lot of play and money outside of those restraints that we have to budget under.
You know, earlier in the show, I was mentioning Wendy Davis's education plan, which she has not put a price tag on. But you do have a lot of Democrats, and not a big worry out there, in my opinion, about Wendy Davis getting elected or Leticia Vandepoot getting elected. But you will have Democrats who want to obviously spend a lot more on education, maybe a lot more on community colleges, and, you know, trying to help out kids going to community college. Do you foresee a huge change in the amount of money that we spend on education, or is it even a money issue?
Well, I'm gonna answer it this way. I think that we probably have venues inside of our education system that can be modified and tweak to get better results with the same dollars.
Yeah.
We will fund the growth. We're constantly adding people into the system, so the growth needs to be funded. We can't walk away. If we add an extra, 20,000 kids into the public school system that we did not budget for in the prior session, we've got to true those numbers up because school districts got hit with that. I think what you're going to see, and this is one of the unintended benefits of HB5, is partnering with private sector and partnering and probably making community colleges more of a relevant role inside of public school systems. And by that, I mean kids are going to be given some choices of careers that they didn't have available that will require community college level type classes to where they're getting their college experience at a lower cost. So I think long term, you'll see community colleges have more funding, but it will be because they're doing more in public schools, and they're getting education to kids at a lower cost dollar. So we're getting more bang for our buck. So the key is, I think, not necessarily more money, but are we getting the bang for the buck that we spend in our education dollars? And is there things that we can do to guarantee the outcomes that we seek with the current dollars that we have?
Visiting with Representative Charles Perry, running in the special election for SD28. Of course, early voting underway already. Let me ask you about something you and I have talked about when you were either running again in HD83 or whether you were just in studio giving us an update. Obviously, Greg Abbott has talked a lot about school choice. You and I have talked about this before, about vouchers, and you weren't completely sold on vouchers, but I think the last time we even talked about this, you said, I can see a need for changing up the rules how they are right now, where kids are able to move to a different school as easily as they are, let's say, here in Lubbock or in other South Plains communities. What angle would you want to take towards allowing that?
Two things. If Houston needs vouchers, and they may, and there may be a legitimate need for them in Houston ISD, they do have some inner city schools that, by all accounts, are not doing what they're supposed to do. Kids are not getting the education, they're trapped. So let Houston need those vouchers. But on our West Texas, the vouchers doesn't fit our model out here well, and we have good schools doing some good things. So my thought process is we have unrestricted transferability amongst districts as long as there's capacity, meaning that if a child is in LISD and would like to go to Cooper, that's pretty much granted as long as Cooper has space. And I talked to Senator Patrick at the time about that issue, and I said, you know, we have choice. We have private school, homeschool, charter schools, and public schools, and we have transferability within those schools pretty much unabated pending capacity. And he said that is not what is available in other school districts around the state, that the transferability is not automatic, if you will, or not allowed pending a lot of different reasons. And I said, well, I think we ought to revisit that idea, because then that creates competition within the public school system, subject to capacity. You know, we got to figure out what makes sense so that we don't, you know, load up a school that's just barely at the, I mean, right at the top of the capacity. And number two, we don't send a disciplinary problem from one school campus to another without some probationary type tactics in there. As some of my superintendents said, it makes sense. Just don't send me a disciplinary problem without some ability to deal with that, meaning that if a child is moving because of a disciplinary action or is coming out of a disciplinary environment and he continues to have those issues in the next campus, then maybe that kid doesn't need to be in our public schools, can go to some other alternative campuses that deal with discipline problems. So, and Dan was kind of like, that's a great idea in the sense that that's not something he's familiar with, but it works well out here, and that's the key, communication, what works and doesn't work, because we are a very diverse state in those issues, and we just need flexibility.
Yeah, and I think what works out here, we're working pretty well so far. Let's take a look. We have a few minutes left, and I appreciate you joining us for this extended segment, visiting with Representative Charles Perry, running in SD28. Let's take a look at expansion of Medicaid was talked about in the last legislative session, obviously shot down. Democrats and other lawmakers already trying to get some momentum to expand Medicaid once again. When it comes to health care, obviously the right's always going to be hit by the left on this. When it comes to health care, how do you try to get more Texans involved in that process? And it's obviously expansion of Medicaid, I think, with you is a non-issue. How do you fight that, fight that battle?
Well, a couple of fronts. Number one, I do have a Medicaid block grant bill that unfortunately got politicized with a non-Medicaid block grant bill that kind of looked like one prior to my filing. So we're going to go back in a very aggressive position with the feds to try to push some of those initiatives where consumer choice responsibility is interjected in the system. Second issue we face is physician access. And we do a really good job of educating our doctors up to the point of residency, and then we don't fund residency, and those guys move off to other states and typically stay where they get to residency with their practice. So we've got to kind of rethink our investment there, put a little more money into the residency status. You know, it's unfortunate this debate is being held by some associations you would think would be on the conservative principle where doctors should have more freedom to practice, should be able to have more reimbursement. But there's two associations out there that are not on that same page. TMA wants Obamacare in some fashion. They pushed hard for Medicaid expansion, and that was just the wrong reasons in Texas. That was not the health care alternative for it. And so I don't, you know, it's just funny how people think that those guys would be something that makes sense in the private sector model, but they're really more for more big government on a policy that's failed at a national level and showing that it's failing around the country.
If you're elected, I think most would say that this would be a pretty conservative Senate compared to what we've seen in the past few legislatures. Does that mean a much better chance or a definite opportunity for campus carry to pass?
I think campus carry gets passed this time. It got through last time over to the Senate and died, although it be a watered-down version, very, very different than what the original proposal was presented. But I think you've got enough momentum on both House and Senate to see that move to the forefront, and I think you have a governor willing to support it and sign it if it gets there. So,
which version do we get, though? Is it the type where the presidents get to decide of the universities?
Yeah, I think you'll go back to the drawing board and probably give that if you're a CHL carrier and you went through the training and things as a student, then that right's not going to be restricted onto campus other than private. Now, if you're a private campus, private school, that's your choice. I believe you're not getting state money or federal dollars that come through state dollars. As a private property rights, you can have that ability. But on a statewide institutional level, I don't think you'll see that campus carry have many restrictions built into it this round.
Have you heard anything from Texas Tech or any of the other universities on this?
What I have heard from the previous administration and Chancellor Hans was always straight up, we apply the laws of the state. I think there was some concerns regarding liability, and I think those liability concerns were addressed in all the versions that have been presented. So that's where I think that his focus was, if anything, but he said whatever the state of Texas laws are, we will apply those laws.
All right. Representative Charles Perry, appreciate your time today. Encourage people to go to your website, electcharlesperry.com. Obviously, early voting going right now. People can go out and vote in the special election for SD28 and Election Day right around the corner on September 9th.
I hear you. Well, I appreciate it and looking forward to get back in the truck. And we've got about a week and a half here to finish up, and it's like all of them. We're just kind of waiting to see what happens.
All right,
it feels good.
Don't kill any more birds, okay? Otherwise, yeah. We're going to have PETA down here, and we just don't need that right now.
But, you know, the best day of my life is usually when PETA's mad at me. Probably not a bad day.
Representative Charles Perry, thanks for your time. Appreciate it.
Thank you. See ya.